When inflation starts to heat up, investors may start to think about including Treasury inflation-protected securities, or TIPS for short, in their portfolios. But how much of a hedge against inflation do these investments really provide? I'm Jim Nelson, and welcome to Vanguard's Investment Commentary Podcast Series. In this month's episode, which we're recording on March 23rd, 2017, we'll look at the role of including TIPS in a portfolio. We're joined today by Darren Roberts, an investment analyst in Vanguard Investment Strategy Group. Thanks for joining us today, Darren.
Thank you.
In a nutshell, Darren, how do TIPS compare to conventional bonds?
Conventional bonds, maybe we can use nominal treasuries as an example. They pay a stated yield. They're unadjusted for inflation. Whereas TIPS, or Treasury Inflation Protected Securities, those bonds are adjusted for inflation and specifically the Consumer Price Index. So changes in those baskets of goods, which are underlying in the CPI, those changes get embedded in your TIPS principal and coupon payments.
So how exactly does that work?
Well, for example, if you have, say, a TIPS security, say $1,000 par amount, and let's say the change in CPI is around 5%, well, your par or your principal will go from $1,000 to $1,050, and the coupon will be adjusted accordingly as well. But I think the good news is that you have a security that's designed to keep pace with inflation and also to maintain your purchasing power.
And what if inflation went negative? How would that affect TIPS?
Well, you have an adjustment based on the change in CPI, so that change could be positive or negative. I think the way the security is structured is that there's a floor. So the change in CPI, even though there's an adjustment to your principal, it won't fall below the par amount.
And I know there are different kinds of TIPS. What's the difference between short-term TIPS and the broader market TIPS?
Sure. Short-term TIPS is a slice of the broader TIPS market. And the short-term TIPS is really defined by the maturity. So it's under 5 years in maturity. It's also a fairly deep market. It's about 40%, give or take, of the broader TIPS market. The other thing to consider is also duration, which is really just how much the change in price is affected by the change in yield. And the other thing to consider is that because it's a shorter maturity bond, it has a shorter duration as well.
So why would someone opt for short-term TIPS?
Well, it depends on the strategy. So what we've found, again, is that short-term TIPS has a higher correlation to changes in CPI or inflation. And if your objective is to match your assets and your liabilities, or the liabilities are indexed to inflation, we found that TIPS serves as a better vehicle because your return component is more driven by the change in CPI versus changes in interest rate sensitivity, which you would find with a longer TIPS vehicle. Now, with broader TIPS, you're getting higher volatility, but you're also getting higher expected income. But the counter to that is you're getting a vehicle that is probably less correlated relative to short-term TIPS to inflation or CPI.
So TIPS provide explicit protection against inflation. So what are the advantages of using them? And then we'll get into the risk a little bit later.
Sure. Well, I mean, one of the advantages is TIPS provide, as I mentioned earlier, an adjustment to unexpected changes in inflation. I think the risk, it really comes down to how it's applied. And I think much like conventional bonds, it's not risk-free. So you can lose money. And then also in a balanced portfolio, it minimizes the effects of inflation. But it's not a full hedge unless you have like a 100% TIPS portfolio. And the other thing to consider is that if you have liabilities that are growing different than that in the change in inflation, so again, we're using CPI as that measure, using TIPS may not be the most effective strategy because if you're trying to match your assets with your liabilities, you might find that your liabilities are growing faster than your assets, and so you're in some ways mismatched.
For older people who maybe aren't working, are TIPS a good idea to have in their portfolio because it does provide some protection against inflation?
I think so. An investor who's in retirement, their objectives and their needs are very different than someone who is just starting in the workplace. And for a retiree, in the most cases, concerned more about, you know, capital preservation and maintaining spending power. Mm-hmm. And so having a security that helps to adjust for that, whether it be in the short term, can be very effective in maintaining that portfolio.
Now, are tips good to protect against unexpected hikes in inflation if suddenly everything starts heating up? Do tips somehow compensate for that?
Well, it depends on the vehicle. But if we're talking about CPI, yes, it does. I mean, that's the intended point of it, being adjusted for inflation. So TIPS gives you that baked-in protection. It is, in fact, an inflation hedge. And I think I should also qualify that there are other alternatives that are used as a proxy for inflation hedge. We looked at, in terms of our research, gold, commodity futures, real estate, or proxies for real estate, such as REITs. And our research has shown that, again, if you're talking about sort of short-term changes in inflation, we found that short-term TIPS is a better vehicle relative to those other securities. And quite frankly, you also have to take a look at the volatility of those assets as well, which can be a risk factor, as well as the cost of using those instruments.
So inflation has been low, it seems like, for years. Should investors still have TIPS in their portfolio when inflation levels are low?
Well, I think this is more a backdrop of low yields in general. So this mm-hmm. isn't just related to TIPS. We are just seeing a low return environment, and that's, you know, that stocks, that's general sort of high quality bonds. And some of that has to do with structural issues in the economy. And I just think that's important to point out. Mm-hmm. So, but nonetheless, I think you still have to take into account the role of bonds, and it's not purely just a return vehicle. It is sort of a diversifier against your stock volatility.
So why shouldn't short-term TIPS, because they do have that lower duration, be considered a cash substitute?
Well, we just found based on our research that it's not a good proxy for cash, because if you look at the correlations between short-term TIPS returns and cash, and we've looked at this over, you know, 10-year period, that correlation is closer to zero.
So which types of investors would TIPS be most suited for?
Well, we feel that TIPS are well suited for tax-deferred or tax-advantaged investors, and those would be described as 401k investors or IRA investors, as well as investors seeking a real return to fund a spending program where the principal and the purchasing power needs to be preserved. I highlight those investors specifically because there can be tax implications for investors based on where the TIPS reside in their portfolio. So, for instance, if TIPS sit within a taxable account, the inflation adjustment and the coupon payments can be subjected as taxable income by the IRS. Now, one practical example of how Vanguard utilizes short-term TIPS, broadly speaking, is in our Vanguard Target Retirement Funds. Now, we don't utilize short-term TIPS throughout the entire glide path because the needs and objectives across an investor's life cycle are very different. So if a person entering the workforce defaulted into, say, a target retirement fund 2050 would have a higher allocation towards stocks because their wealth is really tied up in human capital and the potential for future earnings. Whereas someone who's nearing retirement, their wealth is more tied up in financial savings and their risks are more towards the balance of inflation risk, market risk, and also longevity risk. So that investor would actually need to shift away from stocks, and that's why we introduce more fixed income like TIPS to offset the lack of future capital.
So when you're like me and you have more time behind you than maybe in front of you, maybe you want to think about TIPS.
Right. I mean, it's more about, again, reducing market risk in your portfolio and lessening the volatility aspect to being prepared for retirement.
Now, how long have TIPS been around?
Yeah, they're about 20 years old, I think, within the U.S. There are inflation-protected securities outside of the U.S., so it's not just a U.S. phenomenon. They're called by different names, obviously. They're real return bonds in Canada. They're linkers. But they have been around, and they serve a very important purpose in clients using them to have an inflation hedge or a proxy for an inflation hedge.
Now, does the idea of TIPS being overpriced or underpriced, should that factor into any investor's decisions about whether to get into them?
Well, technically speaking, that's very difficult to try to anticipate. Mm-hmm. I think our implementation with respect to tips is more strategic. Now, if you do have a view or you do have an investor preference, we do accommodate for that as well. We do have a short-term tips product, which is index-based. We do have an active strategy with tips as well. But we do caution investors to think about the implementation because, again, it's not a risk-free investment.
Right.
And you should be thinking more about your goals and how using certain tools to help you maintain that objective and really think about it in terms of a long-term view.
Darren, do you have any final thoughts for investors and advisors as they think about tips?
Sure. Tips can serve as an effective tool in a diversified portfolio strategy where, you know, an investor wants to minimize some exposure to inflation, keeping a capital preservation mindset. I think it's also important to know that tips can also, much like conventional bonds, lose money over a short-term period. So it's just a helpful reminder to know it's not a risk-free investment.
Well, that seems like a great place to end the conversation. Darren, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you.
And we hope you've enjoyed this Vanguard Investment Commentary podcast. Be sure to check back with us each month for more insights on the markets and investing. And remember, you can always follow us on Twitter and LinkedIn or visit our website at any time. Thanks for listening. For more information about Vanguard funds, visit Vanguard.com to obtain a prospectus, or, if available, a summary prospectus. Investment objectives, risks, charges, expenses, and other important information about a fund are contained in the prospectus. Read and consider it carefully before investing. Investments in bonds are subject to interest rate, credit, and inflation risk. Although the income from U.S. Treasury obligations held in the fund is subject to federal income tax, some or all of that income may be exempt from state and local taxes. Diversification does not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. All investing is subject to risk, including the possible loss of the money you invest. Past performance is not a guarantee of future returns. Investments in target retirement funds are subject to the risk of their underlying funds. The year in the fund name refers to the approximate year, the target year, when an investor in the fund would retire and leave the workforce. The fund will gradually shift its emphasis from more aggressive investments to more conservative ones based on its target date. An investment in the target retirement fund is not guaranteed at any time, including on or after the target date. The information presented in this podcast is intended for educational purposes only and does not take into consideration your personal circumstances or other factors that may be important in making investment decisions. You may access and download this podcast only for your personal and non-commercial use. You may not use it in any other manner or for any other purpose without Vanguard's written permission. Copyright 2017, The Vanguard Group Incorporated. All rights reserved. Vanguard Marketing Corporation, distributor.